Chapter 3. They ate packed lunches. Nori had leftover pizza and two tangerines. The bus wound its way through Angel Canyon. The rugged two-lane mountain highway was the last leg of their journey. Majestic cliffs rose on either side of them. Wow, it was beautiful. Nori felt small. The mountain highway topped out at last. Grand script was chiseled into an impressive stone arch. It read, Dragon Haven. It was the entrance of the Dragon Rescue Protection and Preservation Center. The forest stretched out in front of them, the fall leaves shining in the sunlight. We're here, cried Mizstar. Everyone piled out of the bus except for Andres and Rockbax, who stayed in their seats while Nurse Riley tended to them. Outside, excited chatter flew back and forth. Sebastian unwrapped Nurse Riley's sweater from over his eyes and put back on his head cone. Elliot helped him adjust it. The bus driver unloaded backpacks, duffels, and sleeping bags, piling them in front of the welcome center. Hello, campers, someone called out. Nori turned and saw a regal woman flying toward them. She stopped and hovered a couple of feet in the air. She was thin and had a long neck. Shiny black hair hung like a bolt of silk down her back. She wore blue scrubs like a doctor. My name is Dr. Miriam Cho, the woman continued. But you may call me Mo. I am the chief dragonologist at Dragon Haven. I'm honored to welcome you to our center. Hi, blurted Nori. I'm Nori. Andres shot her a look, but Nori didn't care. There was a real dragonologist right in front of her, wearing actual ugly blue pants. Nori had thought all dragonologists worked in dense, uninhabited forests, wild wetlands, and vast sandy plains, riding around in safari cars with teams of photographers. She'd thought all of them were fuzzies, too. That's what it seemed like in the educational film on dragons that Ms. Starr had made them watch. But here was Mo, a real live flyer dragonologist with glamorous hair. You Dunwoodle students are one of two school groups we have with us right now, Mo continued. And there will be plenty of time for introductions later. We'll wait for the other group to arrive. The other group? Nori thought. What other group? Nori's eyes flew to Elliot, then to Ms. Starr. Both looked as confused as Nori. One of the reasons Nori had been so excited about this overnight trip was that it was going to be just Ms. Starr's upside-down magic class. No other kids from Dunwoodle would be there. No mean flares, no clicky fuzzies, no intimidating older kids. Nori didn't want another group of students at Dragon Haven. The idea made her nervous. Come along, said Mo. I'll give you a brief tour of our facility. She gestured behind her. That, of course, is the Welcome Center. Pamphlets, photo opportunities, a gift store with books and postcards. She sniffed. It's the sort of nonsense our rescue center has to have in order to remain funded. The more interesting artifacts are in the Great Hall, where we have exhibits and a reference library. She headed across a grassy field. Nori and the others followed. The air was chilly. The silence of the Dragon Reserve felt very different to the bustle of town life. Nori peeked at Sebastian. The sounds of the forest were so quiet and pretty that he had taken off his head cone. Then a shriek pierced the air. It was high and wild and terrifying, but also glorious. That's a bramble dragon, Mo said. What a noise, eh? She was caught by hunters and sold to people who thought they wanted a baby dragon for a pet. Can you imagine? Wild animals should never be pets. Foolish, foolish people. They called us after she burned their house down, Mo sighed. She's rehabilitating nicely, though. The dragonologist picked up her pace and pointed to the right. Several miles to the east is a facility for the study and rehabilitation of river dragons. All the dragons here are sick, injured, or orphaned. They're unable to live in the wild. Our goal is to help them get better, and then release them to natural habitats. And while they're here, students and scientists can study them. Mo then showed them the most important areas of the preserve. A veterinary clinic, a fireproof room for injured fire-breathing dragons, and a building she said was a hatchery. When a clutch of eggs was found abandoned, she explained, dragon whelps could be hatched in an incubator. Next came wooded areas with clearly marked paths that were safe for students to explore, a great hall full of exhibits, and the cafeteria. "Now I'll show you your lodgings," said Mo. "The girls will share one cabin along with Ms. Starr. The boys will bunk with..." "Me," Nurse Riley said, lifting a meaty hand. "Felix." "Felix?" Nori grinned. She hadn't known Nurse Riley even had a first name. She'd kind of thought his first name was Nurse. In the girls' cabin were three bunk beds. Nori claimed the bunk closest to the window. She scrambled to the top and wished suddenly for Pepper. Marigold and Willow would, of course, be together. Ms. Starr was taking the third bunk for herself. Pepper would have been Nori's friend for the bottom bunk, but she wasn't here. "Check it out," Willa cried, looking through a screened window. "Nori, come," Marigold said, joining Willa. "It's the other student group. They're here." "Ugh." Nori hid her face in the pillow of her top bunk and tried not to think about these strangers who were arriving. They might be mean about upside-down magic. She didn't want them to ruin her wonderful dragon overnight. "They look the same age as us," reported Marigold. "They're wearing uniforms," said Willa. "Skirts for the girls," said Marigold. "And ties for the boys. There are, like, nearly 50 kids. The girls are going into 5 cabins, and one of them is, wow. She's a really good fluxer. She just turned into an elephant." "No fifth grader can do elephant," said Nori into her pillow. "She must be an eighth grader. She has a patch on her duffel bag that says, 5th grade squad goals," said Marigold. "Well, she's a show-off then," said Nori. "You can do elephant," said Willa encouragingly. "No," said Nori. "I can add a bit of elephant to other animals. Skunkophant, bluebird elephant. Neither's the same as a proper elephant, though. Proper elephant needs sustained trunk and jumbo size. It's harder than it seems." "I think flexing into a skunkophant is harder than it seems," Marigold said loyally. "Anyway, since when have you been afraid of hard things?" Marigold had a good point. Nori pushed herself up from her pillow and sat back on her heels. "Since never." And to prove it, she jumped from the top bunk to the floor, landing on both feet.